I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday morning, October 19, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic it is, I guess, in essence, what we read about in Isaiah 5. I believe it is, you know, woe to them who call good evil, evil good, you know, who put light for dark, dark for light, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Those are the times we live in. That has been institutionalized. Up is down, down is up. And, you know, the age of totalitarian propaganda, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, the end of truth and totalitarian propaganda is in full effect. I mean, that's, you know, and so this is... This is a cathartic moment where we all gather to, for a reprieve, I suppose, against the onslaught of totalitarian propaganda and complete gaslighting of truth and reality. And as I have said many times, you know, the agenda is, I mean, you know, you go back in history and look at these guys who Carol Quigley wrote about 100 years ago. They talked about a, you know, a Ruskin-esque one world society with one language. It's more than just colonializing the world. It's not just colonialization that is in view. It's the Genesis 11 redo, the finishing of the great unfinished work. Because, you know, the Ruskinites, who thought it would be a great idea to adopt this mission as their own, you know, Cecil Rhodes and company, following the vision, what, you know, it looks an awful lot like what was going on in Genesis chapter 11. So from the NASB, just quickly, Genesis chapter 11, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Been pushing, you know, even BB, you know, everybody that does their broadcasts, they do it in English. Why is that? why was English chosen or selected as the language, the universal language? I would say one of the main reasons is that it's the language of choice for sophists, because you can, you know, fiddle with things more easily in English than you can, say, the Romantic languages, where you have rules against doing that kind of thing. You can't do it as easily. So Genesis chapter 11, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. Why? Why do they want it to reach into heaven? Well, you know, in case that mean tyrant of a god wants to flood the world again. And because, you know, maybe we'll just kick him out of heaven while we're at it. And let us make for ourselves a name. Maybe the Masons? A name, otherwise we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And, you know, we won't be able to identify each other. Right, guys? Manly P. Hall wrote about this in The Secret Destiny of America, for example. You know, these intriguers who have hidden themselves throughout history, but who have been in the midst of the profane, so to speak, for millennia. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have the same language. And this is what they began to do. Because the imagination of the hearts of men is evil. I've talked about this recently. You know, Lego and everybody want us to, Walt Disney, who was DeMolay, we're supposed to foster the imagination in folks and, you know, encourage that and so on. If you do a search for imagination, I-M-A-G-I-N, wild card character like asterisk in the King James in any Bible resource program or website, blueletterbible.org, for example. In the King James, you get 36 search results, and they all have, none of them have a positive connotation when it comes to imagination. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that sounds hyperbolic, but if you really, you know, the more I go along, the more I realize it's just simple. And what's in the Bible is pretty darn simple, which is amazing for God to be able to do that. And anything apart from God is increasingly, the further the distance is, the more it is, the more evil it is. It's increasingly evil. And so in this society, where we are steeped in the concept of ye shall be as God, ye shall be as gods, the first deception in Genesis 3. It's no wonder that we are trending toward what you read in Genesis 6:5, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. People don't realize it. You know, the conversation about ethics here and there, which is really situational ethics. How can we be, you know, a bioethicist or this ethicist or whatever? These are positions. The reason that you do that is, again, because of sophistry. You intend to do something evil, but how can we do it in a way that you know, we can pass off as not evil, or that doesn't seem as wicked as it really is at its heart, which is back to the good reason versus the real reason kind of stuff. Well, they're telling me this, right? But, you know, if Ted Bundy shows up and tells you that he wants to be your friend, you know, should you take him at his word? Maybe not. So when psychopaths tell you, you know, they create positions for Bernaysian language manipulation and sophistry, maybe we should be a little skeptical. I don't know. So Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then you skip forward to Genesis 11, just five chapters later. You know, the book of Genesis, I mean, it starts by chapter 3, we have the original deception. By chapter 6, we have the first great reset, so to speak, the hard reset. And, you know, the staples button, I think it is, right? Reset. Just kidding. And then by Genesis 11, same kind of thing is already happening. If you're paying attention, I think this is evidence of motive, intent, agenda. And these episodes are driven by the character who's at the heart of the first deception there in Genesis 3. So you get to Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, this is the King James, behold, this people is one. Haven't we been hearing about this for 100 years? Certainly in the lifetime of everyone who's listening to this broadcast, throughout our entire lifetime, we've heard that we're supposed to, increasingly we hear that we're supposed to be, you know, good global citizens. We're supposed to think globally and act locally. And we're supposed to be good communitarians who are more concerned about the herd and the collective and the good of, you know, the greater good than ourselves. We sacrifice ourselves to the greater good. What does that mean? And it's interesting because it really speaks to kind of a latent, you know, you might say Bernaysian or Freudian sort of impulse that's baked into all of us, that's wired into all of us. And it's that thing that Pike talked about in his letter to Mazzini that, you know, allegedly never happened, except it's been very prophetic. And so it's this, you know, latent desire for connecting with our Creator, essentially, and all that that entails, that is hijacked and misappropriated in an effort to lead people astray into this crazy thing. You know, talking about, not to get too far afield before I finish this thought, but, you know, the third temple, the building of a temple by revisionist Zionists that are sort of at the, you know, the center of power to possibly bring this about, is a remarkable concept. When you, I think on Wikipedia even, it says that the revisionist Zionists are not, they think of themselves as irreligious, but that's dishonest. They're not godless, they're satanic, essentially. Revisionist Zionism is a form of Zionism which is characterized by territorial maximalism. Revisionist Zionism promoted expansionism and the establishment of a Jewish majority on both sides of the Jordan River, right? That's the famous deal, right? Both sides of the Jordan. Developed by Zev Jabotinsky, this ideology advocated a revision of the practical Zionism of David Ben-Gurion and Chaim Weizmann, terrorists in their own right, right? Which was focused on the settling of Eretz Israel. And again, people who are considered irreligious, what do they care? The land of Israel. Different types of Zionism. Revisionists instead insisted upon the Jewish right to sovereignty over the whole of Eretz Israel, which they equated to mandatory Palestine and Transjordan. Where is the, well, revisionist Zionism directly opposed labor Zionism within the general Zionist movement. Revisionist Zionism had its own paramilitary group called the Irgun, out of which another organization known as the Stern Gang emerged. Both the Irgun and Stern Gang were responsible for several attacks against the British to try to expel them from Palestine. But that's interesting because the British were the willing handmaiden of this project. So funny how that works. In 1935, after the Zionist executive rejected Jabotinsky's political program and refused to state that the aim of Zionism was the establishment of a Jewish state, Jabotinsky resigned from the World Zionist Organization. He founded the New Zionist Organization to conduct independent political activity for free immigration and the establishment of a Jewish state, which sort of reminds me of the schism between Karl Marx and what's his name? Oh gosh. I can't think of his name. That's ridiculous. Oh my goodness. His name. You can see his face. Jewish Bolshevist. I think I'm thinking of Bakunin. Anyway, similar rift. Oh, yeah. It was the rift between Marx and Bakunin that I'm thinking of. So anyway, Jabotinsky sort of gets thrown out of his own movement, essentially. Revisionist Zionism has strongly influenced modern right-wing Israeli parties, principally Harut and its successor, Likud. But where is the religious deal that I'm thinking of on here? It is here. Now, let's see. Ideology of pre-state revisionist Zionism. The revisionist Zionist movement did not have a clearly defined ideology, which was more of a feature of Zionists on the left. Initially, the stance of the movement was to reject the policies of the contemporary Zionist leadership under Chaim Weizmann. The lack of a coherent ideology was something that the movement took pride in, since it removed them from the brand of traditional party politics and did not emphasize identification with religion or class, social class. That's interesting. Because, you know, religion is part of the discussion somewhere. I mean, this is a, people, Christians talk about a biblical mandate, but it's left out of the discussion. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't.
You know, there's a good explainer on this. And maybe, yeah, maybe we should just play that. I think we will in the next segment. Kim Iverson had interviewed Rabbi Yaakov Shapiro recently, and there are a couple of excerpts from that interview One titled, Israel Needs to Be a Normal Nation for Israelis and Not for Jews Alone. An interesting perspective. And then another titled, The History of the Jewish Nation, Rabbi Yaakov Shapiro Explains. Those are interesting explainers. Let's see. Along the same lines, Larry sends me this global research article by Michelle Chosadowski, Criminality Beyond Description. Netanyahu supports both Hamas as well as Al-Qaeda terrorists. Israeli activity cooperates, or excuse me, Israel actively cooperates, quote unquote, with the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. But again, see, if you're paying attention, what is the wellspring, let's say, of the, you know, Islamic State, Al-Qaeda ideology? It's Saudi Arabia. And like, you know, as has been mentioned, people, you know, why isn't a one-state solution over there advisable? It'll never happen because then the conflict would go away. And the same goes for any sort of, you know, lasting peace agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia. It's WWF theater on a grand scale. That's what it is. It's like watching Donald Trump, you know, at the WWE or whatever. It's the same kind of thing. You know, if you remember the old days, if you ever watched WWF and the, you know, there would be this pushing and shoving, you know, we want to have an agreement. And then all of a sudden somebody does something that's not with this, you know, you got a couple of gangs represented and they're going to try to bury the hatchet. And then another gang or person that's affiliated with one of these does something to the other gang, and oh, then all bets are off. It's all theater. And that's the deal with Israel and Saudi Arabia. It's all theater. Oh, Hamas attacked Israel, and so, you know what? We can't trust Saudi Arabia, and maybe we should attack Iran. What? What? Well, you can't trust Saudi Arabia because it is the wellspring of Wahhabism and Salafism. You can't trust Israel, so-called, because first of all, it's a counterfeit. And why choose that? You know, why choose that moniker? For obvious reasons. It has a biblical connotation. That's the elephant in the room that we're not talking about. It has that association. Christians want to try to attach themselves to it, but without doing the investigation. And here, you know, speaking of that, I'll give you an interesting, curious little fun thing. I didn't really finish the Genesis 11 thing, but, you know, God goes down and said, let us confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel. Now we have Babel as a language learning tool, which I think is the devil thumbing his nose in God's face. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. And what has been happening in recent years? You know, you look at these big high-level meetings where there are interpreters and everybody has the technology that translates into their native language. It's effectively one language. And it's everywhere. I mean, in fact, I'm mentioning the Global Research article. They have at the top that little disclaimer on all of their articles now. All Global Research articles can be read in 51 languages. So, by hook or by crook, we're all moving along on the Genesis 11 redo. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. Oh, goodness. So let's see. What do we got going on here? All kinds of fun stuff. Fox News is definitely on the bandwagon. Let's see. Trey Yankst. I mentioned him last week. There's the video that was posted on republicbroadcasting.org. Maybe I should just go back and read. Astounding. You know, and so my comment was, in other false flag strategy of tension news, why would Israel be indiscriminately targeting people who filmed massacres, quote unquote, perhaps to prevent video footage of IDF, Hamas, false flag ops getting out? Or, you know, people, you know, the false flag nature of what's going on, the strategy of tension nature of what's going on leaking out. Because you always have issues, you know. When you think of movies that people have gone through and critiqued. Look, they got this wrong, they got that wrong. You know, people going through the footage that may leak out. Isn't it interesting that we're getting stuff real time from certain places, but then the organic stuff, you know, we got to bomb that. So Trey Yinks did the video, the YouTube video is titled Israel Strikes Targeting People Who Filmed Massacres. Trey Yinks, Fox News correspondent in southern Israel. Oh my goodness. This is the brutal. Now, so now he has a video titled, or there's a Fox News video titled Trey Yinks, This is the Brutal Reality of What Hamas Did. So, you know, people are saying there's no video footage, but you got Trey Yinks there in, you know, in battle gear for effect, taking a cue out of CNN's playbook, I guess, or something, but it's ridiculous. You know, he's in southern Israel, allegedly. This is graphic. But, you know, he did the video. He was in the Fox News video, Israel Strikes Targeting People Who Filmed Massacres. And he said, and we played the clip, you know, the current situation, we were told today, this was cleared for publication from the Israeli Center, which I felt inclined to include in the soundbite, obviously, for obvious reasons. It's not something that's speculative. He went out of his way to say this was cleared for publication from the Israeli Center because it was sensitive information, but it was cleared that the Israelis are now targeting people inside Gaza who filmed any of the massacres on Saturday. That would be October 7th, obviously. So if they were able to use their intelligence and someone on an iPhone took a video of someone else committing an atrocity or even just filming, they would find that person if they had the intelligence on them and hit them with an airstrike or a drone strike or artillery. So Mossad can apparently identify people who filmed anything on Saturday or specific things in specific places, obviously, and target them. But they couldn't apparently identify or weren't aware of, you know, there was that early footage. This is Hamas breaching the fence in an area that who knew at a time that who knew is, you know, is Mossad infiltrated or are there double agents? How did anyone know that, you know, this was the time and place, this 70 kilometers of fence at this time will be vulnerable? How did they know? And, you know, Mossad couldn't find that, but in the wake of that, immediately following that, they can find people who had an iPhone that took a video of someone else, you know, committing an atrocity or just filming. Amazing. The real-time response, but they couldn't know ahead of time. So it's all theater. Trey Yinks, this is the brutal reality of what Hamas did. It's amazing. The theater is amazing, you know. And every time you ask a question, there's another explainer that comes along. You know, how do we know that it was? Oh no, they took credit. And the theater goes on and on. Son of Hamas leader breaks silence. They must be stopped. That's another Fox News video today. In other news, let's see. Sam Vaknin actually did a video I haven't watched. I wonder what that's all about on the 15th. Title of the video, Psychology of Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. Read the description. And in the description, he writes, correction and apology, the Hamas beheaded soldiers and murdered babies, but mercifully they did not behead the babies. My apologies for getting this detail wrong. There is trauma response playing on both sides. Israel is a product of the Holocaust, and the Palestinians have their Nakba. Well, my thought is it would be interesting to hear Sam Vaknin's perspective on the the psychology of trauma and as relates to his research on narcissism and victimhood and those kinds of things, because he's done some interesting work on that along those lines. But it sounds like he's beguiled as most. In other news, MSNBC says, breaking, Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election interference case. That's interesting. I haven't seen that yet. But, and then, you know, of course, they have Sidney Powell's mugshot, the infamous mugshot. Anyway, maybe we'll look at that later. But first, we got to hurry up and play the video that I mentioned. Speaking of all the shenanigans of late, the video, Kim Iverson's video on YouTube, Israel needs to be a normal nation for Israelis and not for Jews alone, Rabbi Yaakov Shapiro. So can we play that, please?
But Israel doesn't care. They only care about themselves. They don't care about Jews. Right. They'll sacrifice all of us. They would be very happy if the anti-Semitism blows up all over the world, because then they'll say, you got to come to Israel. And then they'll say, okay, look, we want to be safe and we have to have a safe place. They want that. As a Jew, and any Jews interested in doing this, you must tell everybody, you must get this through your head, and get it through the heads of anybody you have influence over, or anybody whose ear you have, that Israel has nothing to do with the Jews. Israel has to do with the Israelis. Then guess what? If Israel has to do with the Israelis, there's no more Zionism. It's that simple. Zionism, yeah, they talk about settler colonialism and Jabotinsky. One of the early Zionists talked about Zionism in those terms as well. But it's much more than that. It's more profound than that. Zionism at its core is the idea that Jews are a nationality and Israel is its state. That's Zionism. That, as Netanyahu said, Japan is to the Japanese what Israel is to the Jews. When that formula changes to what Japan is to Japanese what Israel is to the Israelis, Zionism is over.
Yeah.
And the more we could do to change the answer to that equation, the more we contribute to peace in the Middle East. I don't think the solution lies. I don't think it's, look, they talk about the amount of energy that they use to talk about one state, two state, red state, blue state, you know, mm-hmm. like the amount of energy and time and money that goes into that should really be going into how to make Israel a normal country, meaning country without Zionism. Call it whatever you want. Call it Herzlstein. Call it the Holy Land. Yeah, call it the Holy right. Lands. Call it yeah. Netanyahuville. Call it whatever you want. I don't care. Call it Charlie. But let it be a state where Jews can live in peace with the Palestinians and the Arabs and the Christians, like Canada, or like Australia, or like America. The idea that Israel is an accomplishment for the Jews is the obstacle to this attitude. The attitude has to be that Israel becoming a normal country without Zionism is better for everybody in the world, especially the Jews. That's the direction we need to go in.
You know, I have to tell you, I've been a pretty staunch supporter of the two-state solution. Ever since I went over there, I spent some time in the West Bank. I saw the occupation firsthand, and I just felt like, you know, they're just, I just don't know if these two people can mix. Like, they're just, and the Palestinian people in my mind I felt like they deserve their own nation. They deserve to have their own sovereignty and to have their own, you know, they should be able to manifest their own destiny or whatever. But now I have to be honest with you, after this conversation, I'm sure you didn't mean to convince me, but I don't even know if you, what your thoughts are, but I think I'm for a one state solution now, actually, but for it to not be a Zionist nation. I agree that everybody living on that land deserves democracy. They deserve the right to for self-determination. They should be one nation, and that includes Arabs, that includes Muslims, the Christian Palestinians. Many of them have been driven out. There are Christians there, obviously, Jews, any secular people, atheist people, whoever wants to live there. It should be a non-Zionist nation, probably not called Israel. My guess is if they actually did create democracy and allowed people to vote, that the Palestinians and the Israelis together would have to come up with a new name for the nation, because I don't think Palestinians want to live in Israel. Maybe Holy Land would be a great name for the nation. It's just the Holy Land. I live in the Holy Land, and that's, you know, but an actual democratic state. No one's ever been able to convince me, and I've had these conversations for years, but this conversation has convinced me that it needs to be a one state that is not Jewish. That's racist, first of all, to say we're only for Jews. And then there's a bunch of non-Jews sitting there saying, well, then what about us? Like, I mean, I met a bunch of Arab Israelis who are not Jewish. They're Muslims. They have Israeli passports, but their passports even have a different number in them. I mean, they're labeled as not really truly being Israeli. They don't get the same rights as an Israeli with a full passport. You know, the Arab Israeli gets a second class citizenship. It's appalling, and it's racist, and it should not happen. We don't allow any other nation to behave this way. We call it racist. And in this situation, if you say Israel's racist, you get called an anti-Semite. But really, it's like, you're just standing up for the rights of other people who are living there, and they're being subjected to the laws of this nation. So yeah, you've convinced me of that. And that is what I think everybody should be advocating for, is one area where all the people can live in peace. And this would be better, you're right, for all the Jews around the world, because the concept of Zionism, the concept of Israel being a home for the Jews, is damaging the reputation of every Jew everywhere, because everybody is suspicious that you have a dual loyalty. I mean, they're looking at you and they're automatically suspicious of you. And that is not fair to you. That is not fair to all the many Jewish people who are loyal to the nation that they're in. Just like, I'm half Vietnamese. Nobody asks me about Vietnamese politics. No one. No one asks me. Like, they don't come up to me and start asking me about Vietnamese politics. I'm an American. That's what that is.
And Kim, this is worse, because I'm not even half Israeli. You see, that's the thing. I'm Jewish. That's the thing. I'm not even half Israeli. If I'd be half Israeli, that would be comparable to your situation. I have no Israeli blood in me.
Right.
I'm an American. My family's from Poland. On my mother's side, they're from England and Russia. What do I have to do with some country in the Middle East? What kind of crazy thing is this? Not only are the people in Israel subject to their laws, but when they make a nation state law, I am subject to their laws. I'm an American. Their law affects, they say they're my nation state. They're the nation state of many thousands of Jews in various countries over whom their laws have no jurisdiction. There's no other country on the world like that. Well, it's be a normal country, that's all. And take the energy and time that people use to talk about, again, one state, two state, red state, blue state. You want to send military stuff over there? You're worried there's going to be like a civil war because there's so much bad blood between the Zionists and the Palestinians. I don't know. Fine. So take all the military power of the UN, of everybody, put a tank on every street corner, whatever you want to do, make sure there's peace. Put your energy into trying to figure out a way how to collapse this country, collapse Zionism, and make it into a normal country, because Zionism is poison for everybody, including the Jews.
Well, the IRS October 15th tax deadline is right around the corner. I know.
All right, that's it. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Interesting thoughts. You know, one of the most fascinating things to me about the discussion is once you dig into it, I've talked about the Naturi Carta in the past, for example. There are, you know, Jewish voices basically are saying this is evil. We are against Zionism. We are against this thing called Israel, which is a disingenuous moniker. You read articles in the Times of Israel. You read articles in Haaretz and all over the place that say, you know, that denounce this stuff every time something happens, like what allegedly happened on October 7th this year. Pretty amazing. So these ones scratching one's head that people could be sucked into this madness. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need.
He's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. No flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse.
As a side note, one of the things that I think of, There's a lot to get into. You know, there's the history of this thing called Israel. This is probably not the time to do it. I think of, you know, the passage. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. Isaiah 66:8. And the thing that's so interesting about this is the Zionists and revisionist Zionists. You know, like Joe Biden said, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Well, you don't have to be particularly religious or whatever. In fact, better if you're not to be a Zionist. The revisionist Zionist, all the more so. People say they're irreligious. No, it's a satanic bunch, really. It's, you know, diving into the details, that's really what it is. And there's a very, what you might call, religious or spiritual connotation here. And I think it goes right to the heart of what you read in Romans 11:25. Paul says, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, that a partial hardening of the heart of Israel has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And I think what Dennis Prager talked about, that clip that we play, thank you Brian and Jenna for that soundbite, is essential. You know, that Jews are to isms what Italians are to opera, kind of thing. That's a vital and essential point. But that compulsion has been weaponized and exploited, like everything else, by the devil. And that's where, you know, this whole thing is headed. The irony that you would, you know, Christians would say, Isaiah 66:8, can a nation be brought forth all at once or in a day? And they're, but you're talking about people in positions of leadership to bring this thing about and to lead it, who are patently what the world would call irreligious, what I would call satanic. They are certainly not, by any stretch of the imagination, Orthodox Jews. And then from there, it's a short trip to the abomination of desolation. What kind of a temple was it? You know, is London the resurrected Roman Empire of a fashion? You know, is Roman Catholicism on board with all of that? You know, defiling the Jewish temple, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 are in view. It all sort of coalesces, if you're paying attention, and Pike's letter to Mazzini, for that matter. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.